Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here with episode 446. Now, I had the great opportunity to be at the ASA Spring 2019 meeting in Dallas, Texas. I was able to pull together Bob Redding, Frank Loitz, and Bryn Klein, and we openly discussed the importance of privacy and vehicle data. Now, keep in mind, this topic is hot and trending, and you need to know as much as you can because it will affect your business and your career.
The industry is desperate for a leader to come in and say, this is what should be done. My fear, we sat through the last Congress and in hearings in the House, in this Congress, there's one today in the Senate, where example after example of hacking and taking consumers' data, not just cars, but phones and everything else. And policymakers on both the right and the left are reacting in a way, we have to stop this.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, and I'm so proud to partner with Apex. You know, even in this technology-driven world, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings that I've had at Apex, and I know that you'll value what you learn and take away at Apex. Now, plan now to attend. It's the perfect time to commit to go to Apex, November 5th through the 7th, 2019. Write that down. It'll be at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. If you earn your living in the aftermarket, Apex is for you. It's the biggest of its kind. And if you're a technician, you need to check out Mobility Garage while you're there. For information, visit AAPEXshow.com. Registrations now open. You know, I think a lot about getting our message to our aftermarket community, especially the issue we have in this episode. We need every shop owner, technician, and supplier to understand the importance of making their voice heard. We are in a delicate situation that any laws or bills passed can affect any one of us moving forward. This is also a big consumer issue as it concerns their data. You need to be sure you share what you know with your clients. In my ASA studio, I'm with Bob Redding, ASA's legislative representative, Frank Loitz, who is the COO of Desert Car Care, Chandler, Arizona, and Bryn Klein, who's the owner of Assured Auto Works, Melbourne, Florida. Find the talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E446. Hey, look, Bob Redding, he's one powerful ASA representative in Washington just for you. And anytime you can get to listen and get guidance from Bob, you need to invest your time. Privacy, vehicle data, and cybersecurity are huge topics, and we cover them a lot recently. Knowing as much as you can will help us get laws passed that will not only benefit your clients, but your business and the aftermarket. You may be skeptical, hesitant, or maybe you just don't understand the magnitude of this issue. Privacy laws could potentially derail the current aftermarket shop owner's business model due to bad legislation and confusion. Now, as you school yourself with this episode, step up and get behind the effort for privacy, data, and cybersecurity. We need your help. Hey, it's Carm Capriotto at the ASA Spring 2019 member meeting. I'm here in Dallas, Texas. A great panel that I have and some really great insight on cybersecurity and data access. What a great event it's been so far, guys. Thanks for being here. Bob Redding, ASA Legislative Representative. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you, Carm?
Glad to have you here. You're the man with all the smarts.
Hopefully.
Yeah, trust me. We're going to learn a lot. Thank you. Frank Loitz is here. Desert Car Care, Wrench Nation, Chandler.
It's great to be here, Carl.
Chandler, Arizona. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. And Bryn Klein from Assured Auto Works in Melbourne, Florida. Hey, Bryn.
Fortunate to be here. Thank you.
Does the world really realize, Bob, what is on the doorstep here of data access?
It's a scary term. Even scarier that policymakers don't understand what repairers to do, any kind of repairers. It's not just us. It's any kind of repairers. And the whole Facebook problem and the hearings and all over the 24/7 news shows, it's complicated. It's not easy to understand, and scary.
When you see something like that, a news story, and you say, my God, they got it wrong, do you say that a lot?
Yes, particularly when it comes to our area. People don't understand what we do.
And I would just add, from Bryn Klein and our perspective, speaking for a lot of the industry, So here's our Capitol Hill legislative folks, and here's our lawmakers. Could you imagine the feeling with us boots on the ground in the bays? We hearsay, it's hearsay right now, and we're nervous.
I know. And so we're doing this podcast so that we can clear up a few things. When we think of data access, do we think of telematics, Bob?
Well, that's one piece, and these guys certainly know a lot more about the technical piece than I do, but that is a piece that we did not cover in the 12-year right to repair service information battle, but they can tell you more. What are we really talking about here?
As a shop owner, I hear it. I don't think that we really know what we're talking about. That's the problem, is we have to kind of take a step back and have these conversations, and everything that we do from this point forward, we have to realize that we're not going to know everything about it right now. We got to listen.
The reason to talk about it is because autonomy is on that threshold of, say, the next 10 years, and that is going to be more critical than ever. Somebody's going to step forward and say, there's a law about data access. There's a law about capturing information. If something happens to the vehicle, there's going to be a law about the quality of repair that went on. I think we're on the threshold of some major change that has to happen inside the industry. Thank God you're in Washington with your ear to the ground. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine all the work that you do to keep an eye on that.
Well, you are right. We are already seeing cybersecurity protections in California. My biggest fear for us as an industry is overreach, and we're collateral damage in an effort to protect consumers that policymakers go too far. And we've really got to be careful about that, and it's a fine line.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to telematics, it's been around for a bit. I mean, if we look at the, OnStar and things like that, the end user, the consumer, they just know the creature comforts, and they know that, if I have a problem, I'm going to take it into the bay. They're going to fix it. But do they really know that someday there's potential where we're not going to have that information to fix it, and I won't be their go-to hero?
I don't think they know, and I don't think a lot of shop owners know, and that's part of what we're doing here is just making sure that they realize that they have to, they're busy. They're always busy in the bay, just putting out fires all day, every day. So what I encourage everybody listening to do is just realize that this is an important topic, and it's time to put your ear to the ground, like Carm just said, that Bob's doing for us, and we appreciate Bob. But put your ear to ground and realize that this is something you need to pay attention to so that you can educate and protect your clients.
So what do shops have access to now? Do we...
Not enough now, so we have to be careful and be protective of what we have.
And what do we want access to?
Unfettered information to fix the car properly, the right time, the first time, every time.
Does data access have anything to do? You mentioned OnStar, Frank. I shopped here. I went here. I drove this fast. To me, that needs to be a privacy issue. Bob, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, there are some separations here. We have access now to third-party providers, OEM websites. These are the kind of items that we want to maintain or have some similar type access at a reasonable cost for repairs. We don't want something to interfere with our current business models, our models to get better, not to get worse. And that's what we'll be watching for very closely. And in an effort, when you hear the issues like with the Facebook and all these things, we have to be careful that policymakers don't overreact, reach too far, because once a bill is done, particularly at the federal level, it could be 5 years before they revisit it. And we're stuck with that policy.
Sometimes us in the industry don't get behind efforts that you would mount in Washington and develop the kind of coalition and the writing campaigns and the visits to Washington that are necessary. We need to draw a line in the sand and say, if this thing heats up, we're going to have to step to the plate.
Part of it is education, making sure that not just in Washington, but the grassroots, when members of Congress go home and in Chandler, Arizona, that they hear from shops that this is important to me and that I understand you're protecting X, but also remember the small business element. That's a critical piece to this.
Well, you mentioned that they're not getting behind it, but I think it's because so many don't realize it, that we that it even exists or that the conversations are having.
Why don't you think, Frank? You know this is going to be a big issue someday. Your customer doesn't, but you do. Do you have a campaign to help them with it, or are you just going to sit on the sidelines until we get good legislation?
I mean, personally, I think for me, if I can attack this by way of sharing education to the industry first, I'm not necessarily looking at the consumer. I think right now there's a big red flag up. I mean, if you're listening to this right now and think, oh, this is just a casual podcast and we're just hanging out, I beg to differ. You need to go and get involved. Bob, talk about Massachusetts, because Massachusetts had a situation where folks had to get involved.
Yes. Well, we had the service information issue for 12 years, federal level, and then in Massachusetts. Massachusetts has a right to repair law on service information only. Now you have a bill in Massachusetts to revisit that. But one thing is critically important here. The last administration, the Obama administration, the current administration have both issued guidelines on cybersecurity by NHTSA.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just guidelines. That allows a 50-state footprint, 50-state laws potentially dealing with our issues. That's not workable. We need the federal government to lay out guidelines for cyber and privacy and data access, because these guys can't run a business. In particular, if you have multiple shops, your shop is on a state line, or you own shops in other states, it's very difficult.
That's a great point. You can't have 50 different laws that manage this. Why is Massachusetts going forward with this? Because they're not getting any help from federal?
Well, Massachusetts probably would be the most direct dealing with vehicle data access, but you can't walk away from what happened in California with their Privacy Act. It'll go into effect in January of 2020. That's going to impact businesses around the country.
Tell me about it. I don't know.
Well, they have a bill that passed last summer dealing with consumer privacy, but it's an omnibus. It's a across the board for all businesses, mm-hmm. whether you operate in California or not, but if you deal with California customers or consumers. And the results of that are just getting out as to how that will apply to businesses, but this could happen in other states. Michigan tapped into this a little taste of this a couple of years ago on privacy and vehicle data. But we just have to be smart, and educating federal policymakers is key here.
Why is privacy so important from your vehicle? Why is it?
Well, I mean, consumers deserve privacy, number one. I mean, I think the past 20 years, whether it's, you get a little supermarket keychain taggy thing that monitors that you're buying Tide on the second row. Now, some would say, well, that's not too much privacy, Frank. We're just monitoring where they buy their stuff. But within the frameworks of a vehicle, rolling smart technology, that's a huge issue. So I think our industry, and you can take it down from the general service tech to the advisor to the owner of a business, is not arguing privacy. It's just arguing that we need to have a reasonable, effective way to handle motoring fleet. And this is a major issue at current stake here. And so I don't want to have the ability, Ms. Jones comes in and we're not able to say, hey, we can perhaps fix something in the center stack, whether it's radio control unit or part of the ADAS system. So we need to be front and center to have that information and also respect the privacy.
Well, I mean, if you were to try to put it into one scenario, maybe it's a repair, whether collision or mechanical, maybe that the owner of that car doesn't want somebody else to know that collision repair happened. I mean, that might be one of the most obvious reasons.
So it's access to data.
With more than 2,500 exhibiting companies from around the world, Apex is my favorite place to see, touch, and compare new products. It's also the place to meet your existing suppliers and develop new partnerships. Even though it's big, the Apex trade show is well organized and easy to navigate. Just plan to have an agenda and wear comfy shoes, as there are so many cool products, technologies, and product demos, and people to see in a very short period of time. And while you're there, you'll also want to participate in the excellent training offered at Apex. It's a busy 3 days, but well worth your time and investment.
Mark your calendar now to attend APEX 2019. It's November 5th through 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit AAPEXshow.com. Let's play a scenario here, Bob. I'm in a crash, and the insurance company wants to pull data to see what I was doing. Do I today have the right to say no to that?
As a shop owner?
No, as a car owner.
Well, you have an insurance policy. You sign away a lot of your rights. But you bring up an interesting point about this whole debate. Insurance companies now have access to some data through third-party providers, the type of data that you're referencing. The data that we need, that have access to repair vehicles, is a different kind of data. But a third-party option might be something that would be valuable to us in the future. But these are kind of, I guess, Carm, at this point, Frank pointed this out yesterday in a meeting, it's early. There may be multiple paths. We've got to be smart and educated about this to make sure that we're included at a reasonable cost that doesn't change our basic business model.
And you're talking about a $450 to $800 billion industry regarding third-party
data
monitoring, cloud-based. You know, I think as an aftermarket, we respect that, but we just want to be involved in that so that we are able to fix these vehicles as we have, and there's no change to that.
If not better, because the cars are more sophisticated.
Absolutely.
We need more information.
Okay, so yesterday, all three of us were in an ADAS class, and I sat in there because I'm not a wrench, but we talk about it on the show all the time that I really needed to immerse myself. It was so good to have been in there. And when they got into that point about the Chrysler, and you got to pull this thing and put a jumper cable in there so you could read the data, is that what we're talking about?
Having access? Well, we're talking secure gateways.
That's one aspect. Right now, so far, we've talked a lot about service information, but vehicle technology has changed because of cybersecurity, I would think would be one of the big motivators, with Chrysler being on the forefront of that, is that secure gateway module that you're referring to. As of, I think, 2018 models are hit or miss, but every 2019 model and moving forward with Chrysler, you have limited access with your aftermarket scan tool.
So is that what we're talking about here?
That's part of it.
Part of it.
Big time here.
Yes.
If not, we're going to get closed out.
We want to prevent that. And I think we will prevent that. Car manufacturers, they need us. We repair 80% plus post-warranty. We're all over the country. We're in poor neighborhoods. We're in rural areas. We're in affluent neighborhoods. Many times when car dealers aren't there to repair these cars. So they need us, and we don't want that model to change.
Cybersecurity. Where are we going with that? How are we going to get that done? How are we all going to learn to even make our shops secure?
I mean, at a root level, you know, at least protecting your Wi-Fi, right? I mean, some shops are running just one unsecure Wi-Fi. That could be a problem. Having a process as it comes, I mean, a security policy in place, you know, how do we handle the data? And if it affects the outcome of the repair, how do we handle that? Like, we've got to be accountable for that as well, like we have.
Yeah, and I can imagine, Bob, the things you're talking about is that we've got data flowing from a Wi-Fi in a connection to a vehicle, and we're pulling this data, and a bad actor could probably hover over that and take some information and do what with it?
Yes, and that's certainly a fear. And there's a lot of drama out there of examples. We had the then chairman Fred Upton of the House Energy and Commerce Committee from Michigan last Congress sent a letter with every single subcommittee chair from the Authorization Committee to NHTSA saying, guys, they're people going in and hacking these vehicles and doing crazy things with them. It has to stop. There is no federal policy yet. There are some guidelines, but it's not enough. And the industry is desperate for a leader to come in and say, this is what should be done. My fear, we sat through the last Congress and in hearings in the House, in this Congress, there's one today in the Senate, where example after example of hacking and taking consumers' data, not just cars, but
phones and everything else. And policymakers on both the right and the left are reacting in a way, we have to stop this. We looked at a bill this morning that a senator from Louisiana dropped in. Consumer owns the data. That's it. End of story. But we have to have access to it. There have to be, this is just not that simple. People have to understand there are repairers out there that need access to the data. And the OEMs have to step up and provide us a path. They have to say, this is the way it's done now. It works for the industry. We have to have this system of protection in the shop to move forward with data access.
Am I assuming that the OEMs are on the wrong side of us?
No. I think they are trying to figure out how to deal with this too. This is such a sea change for the automobile. Rideshare, who owns the vehicle? Who's going to repair the vehicle? Who's going to insure the vehicle? There are a lot of questions out there. So I think, I know Frank's covered these issues before, but it's a lot of change going on. So I think everyone's trying to figure out sort of their place and how we move forward, including new car dealers.
Got it. And Frank, are we going to are we going to talk to our legislators not only about what we need today, but that whole autonomy thing down the road?
Well, I think, as Bob said, we have to be smart about this. And I think we just want to be able to position ourselves so that we don't have a potential for 10 years from now. And I think in terms of the OEs, I think there is a bit of an alliance. They want to ensure, A, their profitability. They want to ensure that they still have that mainstay of ownership to how this, let's face it, how this conversation goes. I don't think they want to knock us to the curb, but we have to be careful with the language because, and the accessibility and how we execute the accessibility. There's certainly going to be a cloud arrangement. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some sort of security clearance certificate, possibly an ASC testing situation. Yep. So these are all conversations that, you know, as an aftermarket, we want to be a part of, but we want to be smart about how we go about it.
Well, I think that what's confusing to many probably listening, and myself included sometimes, is, you know, we're here right now telling you how important this is and how you have to have your ear to the ground and you have to pay attention. And, you know, for something so important, the immediate knee jerk is, well, maybe I do need to contact my representative. I don't think we're there yet. We haven't had enough conversations. We don't even know what we're dealing with at this point. So because we don't fully understand what it is that we have to protect, because this is technology that's brand new and it's technology we haven't even heard or seen about yet. So I think the real focus is just making sure everybody knows that this is something you have to pay attention to.
I'm saying we're shadow boxing right now. Maybe.
That's right. Good way to describe it.
But that's okay. It's okay though.
Carm, one of the missing pieces here, and it's too late. I think it's too late. In the last Congress, we had the autonomous vehicle legislation that passed the House overwhelmingly and then died in the Senate, passed the Senate Commerce Committee, and then never got to the floor. And that set the parameters for research and deployment of autonomous vehicles nationally. So you wouldn't have California rules, and you wouldn't have Florida rules, and Arizona rules, and Georgia rules. It just, these are the rules. This is how it should be done for safety, et cetera. It didn't go all the way. So states are doing their own thing. And it's literally a Wild West show on AV without that. But in the Senate Commerce Committee, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Republican and Democrat, introduced an amendment to establish a aftermarket stakeholder work group at NHTSA and the Federal Trade Commission on data access and cybersecurity to work it out. Tell us what we should do. How would this model work for the aftermarket? OEs and dealers were also insurers, were on this stakeholder committee. It never became law. So at this point, we've inched closer to having everybody doing their own thing and the federal government pulling it back at some point, hopefully. So we missed a good window here.
Okay.
With the AV legislation. And now we've inherited what we've inherited, and we've got to fix it.
Okay, so you're our man in Washington, and how do you see this playing out in the next couple of years?
I think you could have states like Massachusetts and others pass laws dealing with data access and cybersecurity. You've got the California law in place now going into effect next year. I do think on the privacy piece, you're going to see that move in Congress quicker. That's one where you have bipartisan agreement. So at some point we'll have that.
Will it take a law like take a bill like that to be passed into law to open everyone's eyes to bring this into one?
It will bring it to a head, because if you do a privacy bill that ignores repairers and our desire and need for data access, we're going to get very loud on that, and we won't be alone. The entire aftermarket will be. So yes, I think the privacy piece probably will drive everything, and data access will have to be addressed at some point.
Is there so much junk going on in Washington that they can't get to this stuff?
Well, it is an imperfect process. I had a
you're being very nice.
An Uber driver tell me recently, who was not from the U.S., he said, I was telling him, you know, this is a real mess. They can't pass anything. And I'd had a frustrating day. This was right after the AV bill died. And he said, well, don't complain too much. In my country, when you lose an election, they cut your hands off. So I thought maybe it's not so bad today. You know,
that's really good. We're so, so lucky to have you in Washington, representing all of us in the automotive aftermarket, and especially ASA. If anyone's listening to this and they don't have a reason to join ASA, well, you just found a big one. I want to talk about this bill that you wanted to bring up that Mark Rubio brought up about cyber security.
Yes. And that's Brin's U.S. Senator from Florida, Marco Rubio. He chairs the Senate Small Business Committee. And he's trying to find a way, a cost-efficient relative to taxpayer dollars, of looking at existing entities that can help educate shops and small businesses about how to make your shop cyber safe. Cyber safe. These would be the most fundamental of information and education and training for shops. The bill's passed his committee. Hopefully we'll move forward. It's got bipartisan support. There are about 1,000 of those small business development centers around the country, a lot of them affiliated with land-grant universities like University of Florida, Gainesville, et cetera. But it's an outlet for training, train-the-trainer type things that we're used to in our industry, that we can cover the basics for shops, and people would have access to it, and hopefully webinars and on-site presentations. And it's another way to get this in a cost-efficient way to small businesses about what you should be doing.
Do you think that's important, Frank? Are you secure?
I tell you, we're busy. This is the problem. We're fatigued. This is the reality. Whether you're a technician, advisor, or owner of a small business, we are fatigued. So we hear about it. We read about it. There's a little bit of clouded situation there. We may just kind of put it off to the side because that's, somebody
else. Priorities.
You mentioned this earlier. If I could tell you that ASA, forget about the conversation about the best uniform deal. Forget about the conversation about the best marketing consortium for this particular piece that we can all send out together. How about a full-time lobbyist in DC, people?
Yeah.
For right now, this is real and raw. And so with us being busy and sort of fatigued, we're tasked, whether we're in the bays or at the service counters, worrying about our businesses, we need to participate on this front. And to have a gentleman like Bob Redding investing in us and our future. Again, I'd compliment what Brent says. Right now, if you're listening, let's get a website out, Carm. Where can folks go right now?
I think they can go to the brand new ASA app, maybe.
Ooh.
Launched today or yesterday.
How exciting is that, huh?
Is there a Taking the Hill tab on there?
Yes. There's a under industry.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention something that Frank highlighted, the importance of this, and this is something in real time shops and techs can do right now. They can go to the Taking the Hill website, which is a play off the ASA website. There is a Federal Trade Commission workshop in July that we will certainly broadcast, ASA will, in Washington, D.C., dealing with repairers and OEMs, what's available, what's not available. And it'll be across the board. It won't just be vehicles. That's important. More important, shops and techs can comment through September via portal at the Federal Trade Commission. They can go to our sites and we'll guide them with the link there and say, I'm having trouble with X. These are the problems I'm having today. It's too expensive, not available. Frank and Brent can tell you. But this is an action you can take now because the Federal Trade Commission's building their database for dealing with these kind of issues. And our folks, if they're having problems now, you can react today and with the Federal Trade Commission website.
And we often say, you know, a small business, we say, well, they're not going to listen to us. But here it is, the FTC, they are ready to listen to you. I mean, that's huge.
Get the bus on the road. Let's go. Hey, any final words?
I think when we have webinars on data access and cybersecurity, when we have programs like this, that all of these are made available, and I'm sure you'll wrap us up with that, are made available not just in real time, but over time. And if you don't have time to listen to it at 11 a.m. Central today, May 1st, 2019, you'll have a chance later. But also these webinars, go to these sites and listen and participate. This is important. It's more important than what we dealt with for 10 years with service information. That workforce, service information access, training access, tool information access. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger deal. And if you're in business and want to be in business in the future, you really need to get involved.
Important. Bryn, anything?
Well, I'll just back up what Bob says is if you're listening, share it with your colleagues, whether it's on shop owner or technician forums or, you know, if you're holding chapter meetings, bring it up in the chapter meeting. You know, it just takes 30 minutes or whatever, listen to it, and then have everybody talk about it after you're done. So I think that's it. You know, like I said earlier, confusing because we talk about it like it's a pressing issue, but we also say we're just now having conversations about it. So be careful to really get behind stuff without really listening to what some options are and really understanding what's going on.
Frank?
You invest in your tools, you invest in equipment, you invest in marketing, you invest in your people, you invest in your business. Invest in the time, download the AS app, and pay attention. Don't stress out, pay attention, because this is a conversation now that we need to pay attention to and affect the way we move forward.
Hey, thanks, guys. ASA in the trenches, Bob Redding, our ASA legislative representative, Frank Leutz from Desert Car Care, Wrench Nation, Chandler, Arizona, and Bryn. Good to see you, Bryn. Bryn Klein, Assured Auto Works, Melbourne, Florida. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.